Blog Talk Radio.
Consider all
Hello, Rapture Centric Church. This is Michelle here hosting today. Yes, as the song says, how great thou art. What a great God we serve. Yes, that he loved us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for our sins, and that not only so we can spend eternal life with him, but he also wants to help us with our daily struggles and with just day-to-day life. And he is also coming back to rapture us. So that is very good news. And I just want to welcome everyone to the service. Welcome everyone who's listening on the phone, and welcome everyone in the chat room. Let's see. Right now we have two guests. Welcome. And we have Chris Slaughter and Rosemary and Roman and Jerry and Tressie. So welcome to Rapture Centric Church. Happy Translation Day, everyone. It is a fine day to be translated, I would say. And let's see, it looks like this month actually is a very, very high watch month, and we only have about 4 days left of the month if you count today. So let's see, Jerry and I both got the 28th of June, and for me, the way I got the 28th was I was at work, and I was basically counting out something, and I had to count out actually it ended up being 6/28, like there were 6 out of 28. So got that, and I was like, wait, that looks like a date set. So yeah, so that was how the Lord revealed that to me, 6/28. But Jerry also got that date as well, and he was thinking that Jesus may have been, well, on the Julian calendar, born on the 15th of June, which would be the 28th on our calendar, since he was thinking maybe he was conceived on Rosh Hashanah, which is in the end of September, so 9 months later would be about this time. So definitely high watch days. And also, if we don't go today or on the 28th, then I think by the end of the month is definitely good possibility. It's the sixth month after all. And I don't know, I've been thinking there's something significant about it being the sixth month, since if you go back to creation, like man was created on the sixth day, and then by the seventh day, the Lord rested. So I'm just thinking, like, and seven represents completion. So I would think everything would be completed by the seventh, or by July, seventh month. And then, let's see, another key watch date, I think, is July 4th, just simply because I think it's on a Friday. I don't know, it's America's Independence Day, and with all this talk of wars and rumors of wars, I just think it's a watch date for something to happen. And then July 7th has been getting to me. That actually is equals 777, because 2014, if you add up those numbers, equal the number 7. So 777. So since 7 equals completion, then I don't know if 3 7s equals divine completion. So I don't know. I'm thinking that's a possible date by which the rapture should occur. And then also, if you go by the Julian calendar, the end of June wouldn't be until July 13th on our calendar. So that's another high rapture watch date. So definitely exciting times we live in. And let's see, I was also... Let's see, I was looking at my calendar, at this little calendar I carry with me in my purse, and I was looking at it for some reason, and I guess I have Julian dates on here, because on the 29th of this month, it says 180/185, so I'm not really sure how to read Julian dates, but the 180 caught my attention, and that was on the 29th. And I had read the book of Esther about 5 days prior, so I'll read you the passage out of that, that why the 180 stood out to me. The first chapter, starting with verse 4, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all, and then continuing with verse 5, and when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present, and then in Shushan, the citadel, from great to small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Well, we know that the wedding banquet is going to be a feast, so it just kind of, I was kind of getting a lot of similarities, a feast lasting 7 days, so who knows, maybe it's correlating to the wedding feast. And so this 180 thing was just definitely caught my attention. So let's see. And just in my life, these past couple days, I've been actually, I work midnight shifts on my job. I'm working them right now, so I've been sleeping during the day. But anyway, and you know how we all have our translation times. Well, mine, the Lord revealed to me, was 2 p.m. So I figured, oh, I'll probably be asleep. If it happens during my midnight shifts, I would be asleep, and so I'd be translated in my sleep. But yesterday, I woke up, and it was, I think, either 1 or 1:30, and I was like, oh, boy, I might I think I'll be translated in about an hour. So I was having a hard time going back to sleep after that. So I kind of waited it up for the 2 o'clock hour to pass and waiting to see if anything would happen, and nothing did. So I was like, okay, well, guess I'll have to wait for tomorrow or something. And then I was like, well, I really need some more sleep. So I was sitting up praying. I was like, Lord, you're either going to have to let me get back to sleep, because I don't want to fall asleep at work. That wouldn't be good. So let me get back to sleep, or come rapture me, or allow me, give me supernatural strength to stay awake on my job. So luckily I was able to go back to sleep yesterday. Well, today I wake up, and it's literally 5 minutes before 2 p.m. So and I was like, wow, maybe something will happen. I don't feel any different, but who knows, that could change in a matter of seconds. So I waited, and then 2:01 came, and, yeah, nothing happened. So I was like, okay, Lord, I really need some sleep. Well, unfortunately today I did not get back to sleep. So I'm thinking, well, maybe he'll rapture me or give me supernatural strength to stay awake for my midnight shift tonight. So we will see. Let's see. We have some people on the line, actually quite a few, but before I let them on, I was just wanting to read a devotional out of Jesus Lives. Let me get to that. It is about peace. My peace is such an all-encompassing gift that it is independent of circumstances. Though you lose everything else, if you gain my peace, you are rich indeed. Let that be a deep comfort to you, especially amid the many aspects of your life over which you have no control. When you are feeling at the mercy of your circumstances, my all-encompassing peace is exactly what you need, even though you sometimes feel unable to receive it. Perhaps that is because you cling to other things, your loved ones, your possessions, your reputation. It's as if you are wrapping your fingers tightly around a small copper coin while I am offering you unlimited supplies of pure gold. My desire is to help you treasure my peace above everything else in the world. recognizing it as a supernatural gift, bequeathed to my followers shortly before my death. A man who knows he will soon die wants to leave something precious with those he loves. Therefore, I willed my peace to my disciples and all who would follow me. I know this was a difficult gift to accept, especially in the midst of adversity. So after my resurrection, the first words I spoke to my disciples were, "Peace be with you." They needed this reassurance to reinforce what I taught them before I died. You also need to be reminded of the divine nature of this gift. For it is not the world's peace I give to you. It is the peace that transcends all understanding. And the Bible verses that go with this are John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. John 20, 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Philippians 4, 6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, that was out of Jesus Who Lives, and now I will start bringing on people on the line here. We have caller 317, you're on.
Hi, Michelle, it's Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? I'm good. Having a great day.
Yeah.
Just chilling, laid back day. He wasn't bombarding me with 100 things, so it was a nice break.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me bring on caller 914. You're on.
Hello, it's Joe. How are you tonight?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. Hey,
Joe.
Hi, Jerry. How are you, brother?
Hi. Good.
Right on.
And let's see. Let me bring on Pat.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Pat.
Good last night.
How's everyone?
Yeah, I had to go to my son's, my special needs child. He had a family meeting, and so that was important to go. And it's an hour away, so I got back after 8. But I'll read some stuff later from the line again. But get everybody on, and whenever you want to have me read some stuff, I have a few things I could read to you that are pretty uplifting, I think. Yeah. So,
okay.
Love you all.
Let's see. We have caller 818.
Hi.
Nikki.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Key.
Hey, Joe.
How are you, brother?
And we have caller 713.
Good to hear.
Hi, it's me, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm driving. I'm going to mute myself because I'm afraid of a lot of background noise. So I'm just going to listen to you guys and enjoy.
Okay, honey.
Love you, Debbie.
Okay. Right. Love you.
I love you.
Love you.
So what is happening with you guys?
Yesterday was good. Yesterday I went to this chemist guy. He's an amazing guy. Didn't plan on going to him, but obviously it was from God because I was asking the Lord for a way out. And, you know, that healing meeting that I go to on Monday nights, Gloria had said, "Well, Keith, you should go see this chemist guy. He's way beyond a doctor. He's a chemist. He's really brilliant." So I went there yesterday, and it was amazing. He took one drop of my blood on my finger and put it under a microscope, and it was a 3D image of what the cells were actually moving. You could see it under the screen on a video screen.
Wow.
And what's going on with the body. Yeah. He said the parasite issue is no more. You no longer have a parasite issue in your body.
Whoa, great.
If you had it, it's gone. Yeah.
Oh, great.
He said the white cells are not doing anything right now because your immune system is really low. He said, but it's because he showed the fungus was all throughout the blood and everywhere. It was really bad.
Wow.
But Yeah, he said the red cells were damaged because he said, you must have been living in an area that had a lot of smoke or smog. I'm like, yeah, L.A. He's like, no, recently. I'm like, yeah, L.A. So he goes, that, because those will replace themselves within 4 months. You'll have all new red cells.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he's really smart. I mean, he just, you know, he's looked at 55,000 different people's blood, and he can just, like, 2 seconds, he's like, I was, you know, alarmed. He's like, don't be alarmed, Keith. You're just, don't worry. I got you. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to tell you what
great.
It's going to take, and we'll solve this problem. I was like, okay, because I'm stressed out, you know.
Beautiful.
I was really stressed out. But he said, I want you to take this Clytal Silver, which I'm already on, but the one I'm on, they use a 9-volt battery to charge the silver. Clytal Silver is basically silver and water. And when it goes in your body, it charges. It's got a charge to it, and it kills virus, fungus, bacteria, kills the enzyme to those things. So that kills them on the spot. I've been on one that's a really good one, but it's made with like a 9-volt battery, which is typical. But his, they use actual lightning from the sky to charge the silver. It's pretty amazing stuff. It's very powerful. He said this is going to be a medicine, so I want you to take, you know, 3 tablespoons a day, which I've never taken that much.
Wow.
So I was praying. And since we already prayed for it, it's been going good. Praise God, praise God.
Yeah.
So he's like, take 3 tablespoons a day. He said within 3 weeks, Keith, I expect all the fungus in your body to be gone. He said,
wow.
If it's not gone, we'll go another 3 weeks. But he said, I've only had one other patient that went another round. He said, but if we had to, we would go 3 rounds. But reality is that I expect it to be gone. I expect things to be a complete turnaround for you. So,
wow, thank
so
God.
So it's like, oh, I know. So I'm just, I kind of need a turnaround right now. Otherwise, I'm gonna, you know, I don't want to be in heaven right now. I want to turn this around. Like,
you want to fly.
Well, I told the Lord, I need a turnaround. I need to weigh out. You know, as we were talking about that way out, I said, you better give me a way out, otherwise I'm going to be going to heaven real soon.
Yeah,
so
fly with the flock.
I know, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it was meant to be because I was not planning on going to this guy. You know, I had no idea. I was not interested in seeing any more doctors or any of that. And he's just a brilliant. He goes to the church, too, the church that I go to, the healing session. So he gave me,
wow.
It was normally like $300 and something dollars, and he gave me half off, which is really great.
Wow.
And, yeah, he's just, he's like he's a thinker, you know, so it was like, just, that's kind of what I needed, someone to just get, you know, look under the microscope and see, here's the problem and here's the solution. Because
see
all
that?
The doctors that I went to so far could never figure out the problem, even though I knew what the problem was, but he came up with the solution too. So, you know, he's like, it will work, Keith, trust me on this one, I promise you.
Yeah.
Okay, just, you know,
fantastic.
So that was really good, and I just, so... I'm having a better day today, and the whole day I'm on it, so I'm excited. I appreciate everybody's prayers for this, and I just, you know, we'll keep praying, but I'm real excited about this stuff, you know.
Amen. Keith, that sounds so great. There's so much science to prove, you know, not only the power of alchemy, but how silver specifically attacks and kills fungus, and the fact that he's adding a charge to it. I mean, our bodies, if you break them down, we're batteries. We're basically batteries. That's why we're mostly salt water, is how batteries run. This is just, as far as science, this is a way to attack it. That's just, I'm so happy to hear you're going down that route, brother.
Good.
Amen.
Thank you, Joe.
That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you, Joe.
We have another caller, 818. I think this is Tana. Is this Tana?
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
Hey,
Tana.
Hi,
Tana.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. Shout out.
Good.
But I love you all. I love you, chat. That's awesome, Keith. Yay.
What are you doing, Tana? You at work?
I just got home. I have to go back, but I just got home.
Oh,
I got my car back. Oh, we're good. It's good.
Good.
And it didn't cost
awesome.
Me an arm and a leg. It cost me just the leg.
That's good.
Oh. Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good.
Okay,
I love you
good.
All. I can't wait to go.
Love you all.
See
love
you
too,
and go home to heaven and see you all and hang out
Amen.
With you.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus and
cupcakes.
Yeah. I was listening. That's awesome. All those high rapture watch dates, high translation watch dates.
Wow, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Michelle was ready to go without us. She was talking about her session, and she was going to wave goodbye and take off early. And we're like, and
throw
God
down
was
the
about to take her, but I think we all complained and said, no way, wait for us. And then he pulled her back down.
Throw down that rope. Oh, my gosh. Or hang on to the ankle and take us up. Except for me. A couple of angels here to get me up. Oh, well, that's okay.
You pull me up by two strands of my hair. It may hurt, but as long as I'm going up, it's not a matter.
You don't care.
Or if I'm bald by the time I get there, I'll be able
It's okay. You'll have a new set of
hair.
Color you want. Amen. Oh,
I have
Lord.
An analogy, I think, of what we're going through. It's like we're on a racetrack, and we can't really see very far ahead of us due to a thick fog, which we can only see today. So the fog would represent what's beyond today. And it's like we know we're getting closer because we hear the crowd cheering us, and they're getting louder and louder. And it's like we're exhausted, but we know we got to keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Run the race, get the crown.
Yeah.
We're all going to fall over exhausted at
it
the final line.
Soon. I mean, the Middle East seems to be
Middle East
up again.
Nuts.
Yeah.
It's just insane. You can do the news later, I guess.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, it's bad. Very bad.
I mean, I really do feel we are going to go anytime. To me, the latest that I feel, like, because I just, you know me, I'm all about the feast days. So latest I feel would be Feast of Trumpets on September 25th. But I feel like it would be anytime now between then. That would be absolute latest for the Lord. We'd probably have to go sooner based on all the war scenarios and everything. But to me, that would be like the last. The reason why I would say we wouldn't be able to go next year is because of the fact that next year all the red blood moons would be done by September, and then that wouldn't be possible. I told the Lord that's not possible because those things have to happen, and usually Israel's at war, and there would be a world war. And so that's why I'm really feeling like now to Feast of Trumpets, it's a very, very, very latest, you know. So that's kind of what I'm clocking, really doing my research now and asking the Lord on, because he always tells me about Feast of Trumpets. So, you know, in 2012, he sent me to heaven for 8 hours and showed me the trumpet was going to be blown. It was in the angel's mouth, and then Jesus held it back. So he told me it was delayed.
Wow.
He told me there was going to be no more delays after that. And it's just interesting that he told me that on Feast of Trumpets. And, of course, I had all those visions about Feast of Trumpets when he brought me back to him.
You never
so,
know.
That's why I'm saying now until then, you know. And I'm starting to ask, I'm starting to see, you know, what's going on with the world, starting to get more visions on the whole trend of what's happening, seeing into the spirit realm with that. But it really, really, my brother and I, the same way. We're always, as we talk about rapture 24 hours a day around here, when do you think we're going? Well, we're going to Feast of Trumpets, we're going back and forth. But I'm really thinking, you know, yeah, it's so funny. We'll be there anywhere talking about rapture. But I think I would have to say it would be, because of the fact you had a red blood moon, which means Israel should be at war, and I don't think Iran can go much longer without having that bomb. So I really... really feel, you know, that's really the whole thing about
Israel's
it.
Really,
and ISIS is getting insane, so I just really do feel
I know.
And I don't, it won't be on any other feast, because the last two feasts are for the thousand-year reign and the second coming. So that would be the only unfulfilled feast would be the Feast of Trumpets, which is also called, they also call this feast No Man Knows the Day or Hour Feast, because they have to go look for the new moon before it starts. So it's interesting, it's always been known that as well. But yeah, I mean, just with the timeline, I just don't, you know, the Bible codes say 2014 and 2015 are both tribulation years, and there's been a couple people who had some very powerful visions from the Lord that this year will be tribulation. So when you look at the time frame, well, we're already halfway through the year, so the fact that we've had that feast in September, me tells me, and then we've got anything that could happen now, I just feel like we really are going to be, this time we're going to go for real, and it's going to happen. Time-wise, I just can't keep going, you know, and nothing happens.
The way it is,
so many things. The tribulation has to start, and that's really the message that God's been saying lately. It's not about the rapture so much, about the fact that tribulation, it has to start, you know. So that's my take on really what's going on with that now, you know.
Hmm.
What about you, Pat? You got it. What's your date?
I'm just hanging out with you guys. That's what they're saying. I don't like ask him. He'll just say soon, you know, like hang in here and you know, that I went yesterday. So we're sitting around the table and we're talking about end times, and I said, "Wow, it'd be good if Jesus came soon." I mean, we about the rapture. Well, they all looked at me like I had 20 heads, so it was fine. Like, shut up, don't even try it. So I didn't say anything, but I planted seeds. But I tried, Lord, I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I could do. That's all I could do. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Something else funny happened, but I'll maybe talk later about it. It's strange how somebody
What do you think, Joe? When are we going, Joe? Do you have your date in mind? Joe, Jerry, anybody? Anybody got
Joe, you there?
Yeah.
Sorry, I had myself muted. I really do. Sharing this with a few people earlier. I feel very, very strongly about this weekend. I'm supposed to be at a music festival in Vermont that my friends are putting on. It's like I'm getting 100 texts. Why aren't you here? Like, you know, I was told to stay down here in New York. Like, I'm not supposed to be. I mean, there's an RV up there waiting for me, you know, Pat, the whole deal. Like, something is up.
My.
Lord knows I wanted to go to that. Like,
all
set up to go. You could just drive up there now, but he's saying, no. Something's up. You know, he's not mean. He knows I wanted to go. And he told me not to.
Where are you going to be, Jeff? Where are you going to be since you are at home? Are you going to be working or with a group of people or like in the evening or on the 28th or the 29th?
I am going to – that's this weekend. I'm hitting the road Monday to be on the road for quite a while. So I'm going to just be hanging out here around with my friend and my brother-in-law who's up visiting. Seeing my family. I'm going to go visit my parents. Because then, after that, I'm hitting the road for like a month. So.
Wow. Yeah.
It'll be 2 o'clock this morning.
That'd be so great, Joe. Oh, that'd be so great this weekend. That'd be wonderful.
I'm really feeling it. And I would normally not say anything. You know, I feel sometimes
a little bit
and I bite my tongue. But, like, my spirit, I haven't been told anything, right? Just my spirit feels it very strongly.
I have Behold I Come. I'll read it later if you want, but it's all on the Bridegroom and Song of Solomon and like just total mush, you know. It's just so beautiful. Same on Bridegroom talk. And I have the one you sent me, Keith. Alana, I don't know her last name, but that was very good too. So we can get these in whenever it's convenient, you know, because I think you guys would like to hear this stuff.
Well, what date did you have?
He's been all over me for the 28th, and of course I'm perceiving that as the evening of the 28th. So because the whole Hebrew thing and everything is sort of 28, 29. But for example, Pentecost to the 29th is 21 days. So. He's definitely had, you know, me looking at periods of seven, Sabbath days, like we talked about yesterday, I think. And, I can't even keep track of days anymore. It's crazy. I look at a calendar and I can't keep track of days. Like, the other day I was talking about Psalm Tammuz, the Hebrew holiday, which this year is in July, and I think I said it was the 15th. Well, it's on the 15th of July, but it's the 17th of the month of Tammuz. That's what that means. And that's, in my mind, associated either with Jesus' birth or crucifixion. I'm sorry, not crucifixion. Jesus' birth or circumcision.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, a circumcision is a separation and a cutting. And a bunch of years ago when I was doing kind of rapture research, and I was just in a phase, and it's like every time I turned around, he showed me a word in the scripture that meant separating or cleaving off, and that's the word essentially that they use for circumcision. So I just know that I don't know. I'm super super focused, but I'm in such a good place now. I don't have any anxiety about it. I'm like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like on happy gas or something because, yeah, it's,
nitrous.
You and Judy.
Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, but, you know, whatever, Lord, you know.
Okay, whatever.
I will say this. Tomorrow night at 11:58, I will definitely be staring up outside. Like,
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Some people are getting 2 a.m.?
Let's all go outside at 11:58 and stare up at the sky and wait for Jesus, and maybe he will take waiting.
Maybe.
That's a great idea if we all did it together. I mean, just even as a gesture to our Lord, that's pretty
cool. 11:58.
That'd be awesome,
You know, whenever two or more are gathered, you know.
That
would be cool.
Guys.
You know, people are in love, and they're like, you know, across the seas from each other. Oh, look at the moon at this time. Like, that's a beautiful display of love. Like, great idea, Tana. That's awesome.
7 in the morning for all the Easter.
It is.
If it's 11:58, you know, we'd have to decide what time zone we're going by.
Right.
Let's see. 11:58.
East Coast 11:58, so it would be...
8:58,
yeah. 1:58 for the East Coast if we went by California time, 11:58.
Oh, my.
12:58 for...
Gee, thanks.
The show scheduled by Central Time, so I think we should base it off of Central Time.
Maybe.
That's an interesting idea. Mm. Yeah, because I think Jason had 2 o'clock. I think he's on Central Time, but I'm not sure, but I think he is. And he had 2 o'clock his time, so it'd be 2 Central. Yeah, that.
His was a.m., right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that would be
okay.
That would be 11:58 your time, Tana, I think.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. So, or 2. Yeah,
Tana, where are you?
Midnight. Yeah.
I'm in Cali.
Okay. So I'm 3 hours ahead.
So, I had one minor observation. It occurred to me in my fog one day or recently, I was thinking about the Julian calendar. Well, you know, like Judy's son got the word for Julian, and, you know, they interpret that meant, you know, look at the Julian calendar. Well, there is another thing that's really, really Julian that's right around the corner, and that's actually the month of July, which is named after Julius Caesar. So the whole month of July is very Julian. So just throwing that out there, especially, you know, with some of the things that we're looking at beginning of the month. Also, I've mentioned that this Hebrew holiday, Tzom Tammuz, I think is really relevant. I noticed something about July 4th, 1776, when they signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
That day, that year, was on the Hebrew holiday Tzom Tammuz.
Wow.
And,
yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah. And so, you know, especially with the way we look at, you know, the way we see the world and the way we see the time and everything else. When I saw that, and I had already by then been led to believe that that time was very significant to Jesus' birth and circumcision. And so he didn't become officially Hebrew until he was circumcised, which they do on the 8th day.
Right.
And so you could go back from there and say he might have been born on Tammuz 9, which is exactly 1 month before their sort of day of destruction, which is the 9th of Av. But, funny, I closed my server because I was having issues. But the, if you look at that day this year, that is the 7th of July, the 9th of Tammuz. So, I don't know. There's just so much going on and all the things that I went through that have got me looking at this weekend.
Yeah. Wow.
Definitely. High watch weekend.
Yeah, I've got another thing that relates to all that, too, because I mentioned that Keith's Red Heifer Sabbath reading in for the Jewish stuff is on this Saturday, tomorrow. Really, even today now, okay? But then the next one, which is on the 5th of July, Saturday, that reading is about Balak and Balaam and Balaam's ass.
Right.
So, for all of us jackasses.
God has a sense of humor.
Yeah. So we go from the red heifer on the 28th to Balaam's ass on the 5th. So I don't know what could get any. I don't know what could get any higher watch than that.
I know. We can
appreciate
that.
yesterday when I went to that doctor's office, I said, "Well, how am I going to find your building?" Because I just like to ask before I do my car navy. And he said, "Oh, there's a clock on the front of the building." And then I thought, "Oh, that's kind of weird." And then when I drove there, I saw the clock, and I looked up, and the Lord told me, "Time is out."
Oh, wow.
I was like, "Oh, wow."
Wow, Keith.
He said, "No more time, time is out." I was like, "Okay."
Sounds good.
Yeah. You guys,
like
how last week or one other week, people were getting these dreams on YouTube, but there was a calendar between the 14th and the 21st, and we couldn't go past the 21st. Well, on the Julian calendar, I looked it up, and I think the 14th correlates to the 27th, and then the 21st would correlate to about July 4th. So, that's another reason that this whole week is high watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, others have gotten July 4th for whatever reason. I've heard that. So I'm
oh, really?
Just throwing it out there. Yeah, that's supposed to be something big could happen. Yeah, they're watching this, good or bad.
I'm aware there's an Asian lady who does a lot of sketches, and she's had some. They're like prophetic, and they're kind of hard to figure out. But she had one that I was strongly led to believe that related to 4th of July, or the week of 4th of July.
Yeah,
some year. Wasn't sure what year.
Mm-hmm. Probably this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Lots of watching going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many people getting this. So many. It's not just a handful. It's a lot. So that says something right there. Too many getting this.
Right.
Stuff, really. Exciting days. We're so blessed.
Yeah,
and also, I was reading in the book of Matthew under the parable of the fig tree, and on verse 32, chapter 24, verse 32. Now, this parable from the fig tree: when its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. So I'm thinking this first kind of hint at a possible summer rapture is how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
We shall see.
For sure. Yeah, well, it's good too, because that fig tree tends to drop its leaves sometimes in the late summer or around August, September. So it could be any time. So it's very interesting if you look up when that – he's talking about the fig tree, and that's when it occurs. So, again, we're in that same time frame again. I always find that very interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's a high rapture thing right there. Oh,
you know, I did
it's
a scripture.
Telling you, when the drop is, it says when it's dropped, it's leaves, whatever, it's near. Well, that's when it does, Some people say September it drops. But I've researched it around the country, and sometimes it's different. Anywhere,
oh,
summertime.
Wow.
But like, yeah.
Amazing.
I was going to say, I did a scripture flip yesterday, and it was yesterday before, and the page that I happened to turn to was the transfiguration of Jesus and then the ascension.
Wow.
So I'm like, as I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to read? And it was about him, transfiguration and ascension. I'm like, wow, okay.
Wow.
I'm ready. And then the end of it was talking about the wedding banquet. the father having a wedding banquet prepared. Go invite the guests.
When you want me to, I can read this. It's called Consummating the Covenant of a Spouse to Beloved by Yahweh, your Father. So whenever, you know, if you want to.
Okay. Let's see. We have another person on the phone here. We have 626. You're on.
Hey, it's Leah. I just wanted to say
hi, Leah.
Hi, Leah.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Okey-dokey.
We're good.
Getting ready to fly.
Hey, Leah.
We're ready to fly.
Yep, sure is.
Well, let's see. I could play a song, and then after that, Pat, you could read your thing you're
going
to read.
Sure, I'll read that one, and I'll read one later on, too, because that one's good, too, if you guys want to hear it. Yeah, well, okay, go ahead there. Go.
Cool.
Good.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands. Cause I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go.
Take over control of our lives and we are ready to marry you. Hallelujah. We are so ready to see you face to face.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Well, I guess, Pat, if you wanted to read something.
Oh, sure, sure. This is from Behold I Come. He says, from June 25th, my children, my bride, how will I help you understand all that I am asking of you? Abiding in me is a commandment that has many meanings. You were not chosen before the foundation of time to come here for a me experience. I have sent you here to be an expression and an extension of my heart. It is this simple, yet completely profound. Abiding in me grants you an intimacy like no other. True intimacy satisfies deeply, spirit to spirit, removing the distractions of the flesh and allowing you a freedom which can never be attained in this realm while operating in a carnal nature. Your soul nature came about at the garden when my beautiful creation made the free choice to mandate their own destinies. Pride entered in, and suddenly man knew what was best for himself. Rather than have complete surrender in every moment to my will for his life, Adam used his free will to become the designer of his purpose here. Just as I spoke to him about his decision to operate outside my will for him, I speak to you now. This understanding is crucial now for my bride, as I will only come for her as spotless and holy. I have chosen a bride, a spouse for my son, and she must abide in him as he abides in me. She must walk in complete intimacy with us, laying down absolutely everything this world has to offer in order to be consumed by the fire of our love, a yielded and moldable vessel, one who is empty of self. Self-will, emotions, desires, expectations, and intellect, you have not designed your purpose here and will not yet fully understand until I bring you home. In your obedience, however, you are being asked to trust me beyond the shadow of a doubt, and what I have purposed for each and every one of you is lovingly ordained for your best interests, and that I can never fail you. As your creator, I understand your hearts, your fears, your limitations. Because I am your creator, you can do nothing outside of me anyway. So, children, why strive as you are doing? Lay it down. Lay it all down. Welcome my instructions and my discipline, as it is only in this way you will find true peace. In doing this and finding the truest intimacy that only I can provide, you will then be prepared to receive all I send you in this last harvest, as you will have overflowing to all around you. You have been pressed and crushed, stripped of all but me, and you will be radiant and overflowing to all around you. My refiner's fire serves to ensure my son's beloved is our purest extension of love made manifest. How privileged to have been chosen for such a time as this, my precious ones. Press in now this final time. Become made new into the finest wineskin of your artisan, so that my unending love pours through your purified vessels, quelling the darkest darkness and consummating the covenant of espoused to beloved Yahweh, your Father. Then it has a whole bunch of biblical verses. The whole thing of Song of Solomon. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'll just read the one, Genesis 3:5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Of course, it's about the garden. And then Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And then just Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. And then it just goes on to the whole Song of Solomon, which I guess you can just check that out on your own. But I thought that was a very beautiful message. And later, I'll read the other one that you had sent me, Keith, which was very good, too. From Lana. Yeah, there you go.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you.
Isn't that beautiful? Oh, my
God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lana's been getting some good stuff, too. I don't even know who she is, but she's been getting good stuff. God.
Good.
I know. I used to just delete those things after I read them, but I thought, oh, RCC could really benefit from them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'll read that later. Yeah. Because it's very good.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read the news? Michelle?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask you that. Yeah.
See, Michelle and we're connected. We're like reading each other's minds.
I know.
We've been talking the whole time, ignoring you guys. That's why there's been some quiet time. We've been chatting away.
Judy just sent me a message to tell you that she loves you and that you are a red heifer. She says it's a joke, but it will make you laugh.
That is funny. We're going to have to change our whole RCC to the Red Heifer Movement or whatever. Okay. Let's see. Chinese Christians tearfully sing hymn as church cross removed. China's been doing this. They've been saying they're not against Christians, but they removed like the largest denominational Christian church, and now they're just doing these other things about dismantling these churches.
Yeah.
You know? Boy, oh boy. They say because it dissuades people from their regime and their government.
Mm-hmm.
Drone spotted flying over Pittsburgh Pirates game. Boy, police were called on Thursday after someone was flying a drone over the game. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not sure who it was, but I'm sure it was the government. Venezuela, you know, Venezuela has had a lot of blackouts, and they don't know why, but they had a huge blackout hit. Venezuelan blackout hits much of the country. Officials seeking cause. That's pretty crazy when this half the country or more is going out. They don't know why.
Wow.
It's just a bad infrastructure. Similar to our infrastructure, you know. Hello, ours is going to... That's why people that are against the U.S. are targeting our infrastructure. So if you take the grid out, you know, then you've got the country, you know. And that's what will happen in the tribulation, our grid will go down and they'll just fire the nuclear bombs and everything else and invade our country. We won't have any electricity to do anything about it, you know. Border Patrol agents in Arizona were reportedly fired upon a military helicopter that traveled across the border. Okay. So in Arizona, fired upon a Mexican military helicopter. Okay. Let's see. Christian, blah, blah, blah. The rise of the Mahdi. You know, they're still looking for that Mahdi. 40 years in the barcode has turned everything into information. They're talking about the barcode on products. How to have underground greenhouse and have food all year round. I'm always watching these prepper videos, and they just crack me up because they're, like, not Christians, but they're just all about, like, you know, the Lord always tells me what a joke it is because they're like, I'm going to have all this. I'm going to have food for, like, you know, 1 year, and I'm going to have all my water and blah, blah, blah. And I always think, well, Lord always shows me they're going to have all their stuff prepped all out for the government and everything to clap. And then all of a sudden a disaster is going to hit and all their stuff's going to fall or they're going to, you know, some kind of thing will happen where they'll be separated from their goods. Then what's the point? It's like, you know, you can't run from the wrath of God in the tribulation. 50,000 Assyrians flee fighting in North Iraq. Oh, boy, that's a lot. 50,000 Christians died in North Iraq. Vatican may ease rules on sex and marriage.
Well.
Oh, yeah. If these days they could just seem to change whatever they want. That sounds too convenient to me. It's either, I don't know where they get these. They said they want to rethink it, but the Lord told me, what are they rethinking? You don't think these things. Think about these things and put them in the Bible. They're spiritual in nature and they're profound, you know. The Gog and Magog factor countdown to World War III, you know, Iran and Israel. A former member of this Navy SEAL has become the poster girl for a Pentagon effort to include transgenders. So it's like they show him as a Navy SEAL, and then they show him as this woman, and the Pentagon is advertising that because they want to recruit transgender. It's just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. They're trying to destroy our military is what they're trying to do. It's havoc on it. Justice Department uses lesbian cartoon characters to teach kids about cell phone safety. It's like a little cell phone.
What?
Lab. Two lesbians are like the cell phones and talking about, safety. So the Chinese DF-41 missile can wipe out three U.S. cities in one attack. Whoa. China's solid field road mobile intercontinental ballistic missile is capable of wiping out three American cities in just one attack. Boy, well, California, there you go.
New York.
Exactly. World's largest maritime exercise kicks off in Hawaii. Chinese vessels join for the first time. Wow. First time China has sent vessels to participate in the Ram of the Pacific drills that the U.S. fleet hosts every 2 years. Oh, that's interesting. Are Islamists rehearsing an attack on our power grid? Yep, that's their plan. They're going to take the power grid out. Those electromagnetic pulse bombs, EMP bombs or whatever, they're silent. And that's what Israel's got those, too. That's why they probably used that on Iran. But they'll get used on us, too, by somebody. Singapore officials warn banks to prepare for financial collapse. Wow. Well, this is really crazy that Singapore is preparing for, that's something's going down with that. Thousands flee Ukraine for Russia. A ceasefire nears end. Whoa, as a shaky ceasefire in the east entered its final hours Thursday, thousands of Ukrainians in cars stuffed with belongings line up at the border to cross into Russia. Oh, man. Sounds like they're going to go in then from that article.
Wow.
I thought Russia was backing off. That's weird.
They're running out of money.
Okay. So you think they're going to have them to go in?
I don't know.
Russia now involved in Iraq. Pat, you're supposed to know these things. John Kerry gives Russia hours to ease Ukraine crisis. Okay, so Kerry's basically telling them, you know, he's giving Russia hours to stop this. King Abdul calls up Saudi armed forces in high preparedness. Whoa. Saudi Arabia's got their troops ready. Okay, so things are heating up, fellow RCC members.
Boy.
I know.
Yeah. And you get all these kids coming from 400 a day crossing over Texas and trains, undocumented children without their parents.
Yeah.
That are coming in. Well, so that's bad. And there's terrible drugs coming over by California, Texas, from Mexico. You know, these fabricated drugs are just, and they can put it in a bottle of water. It looks like water, and then when they get over, so they don't stop you, they think you just have water, but you can process this thing into solids from the bottle of water. It's meth. Yeah. So they're not even putting a great effort to stop it. So it's like crazy.
Wow. I know. I just think the government's
it's
allowing.
It's California.
Obama's allowing all this stuff because he's letting America just fail. Just, you know.
You heard what ISIS wants to do to Obama and Michelle. They want to behead them.
They said that?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Getting crazier.
That's the news today.
And then
we watched
Yellowstone and, you know, crazy.
So,
Ring
so
of
Keith,
Fire.
Keith, since you're the red heifer, we just need to know when you're going to Jerusalem.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go right now.
Do you have your tickets?
You're coming with me, Jerry, so don't be too all crazy.
You got to straighten everything out there, Jerry.
I've never been to the Holy Land. I've never been to the Holy Land.
Me neither. No. I'm not going now.
We'll get the GPS to follow the heifer. And we'll find it.
We'll use a drone and find you. Okay, we'll borrow one.
Roman's been there. Maybe he can tell us what to do.
Oh, Roman, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Hi, Roman. Love you.
Roman. Yeah, he'll know.
In chat?
He can show us the... He can show us the Via Della red heifer.
That red heifer is our key when we start to see them start to get ready to do that temple. I mean, this is the last thing they got now. They're ready to go. They're gonna move forward and start that temple thing. I think that whole temple thing is going to be part of their... I think there'll be a war, and then I think as part of the agreement, there'll be a peace treaty, and there'll be the tribulation signature of that peace treaty, and that red heifer and their temple will be part of that deal. So that's why I believe we'll go out before the war. The world never does peace on its own. That's a fluke. It never has and never will. Usually a war.
No.
So that's why I feel that we'll go out, there'll be a war, and then I think Israel will do some serious annihilation, thanks to God, and then they will, Arabs probably will freak, and they'll probably stop that thing. and then they'll just, okay, let's sign the peace deal right now, and we want our temple, and, you know, we need the red hat for her to do it and all this. Everything, that's why I think that's going to happen, you know. I had thought that, I don't know, Jerry, did you hear that Russia was, I thought Russia was backing off with Ukraine. Why are they, it sounds like from what I just read, they're not.
I think it's a big negotiation, so about every two or three days you hear a different kind of headline. They're just twisting each other's arms. Russia, I think, they want to make their point, and because if they really, really wanted to go in there and take control of everything, I think they would have done it by now.
That's what I think, too.
But there's some evidence that most of the unrest there hasn't really been created by Russia. It's just that there's a huge population of Russian sympathetic population there. And so it makes it, you know, it's sort of like the Middle East. It's just not quite so complicated. But I think this back and forth thing is, it looks just like a negotiation to me, you know, where they're really negotiating behind the scenes, but then they say bombastic things in the public to try to sway the conversation.
I just don't think they're, you know, like I said, I don't think they're going home. The Lord told me those troops are not moving. I just don't think they're going home because I think, you know, they're going to be there for that Psalm 83 war. They can't be way up in Russia up north. They've got to be, you know, and when they go and invade Israel, it's going to be quick and fast. So that's why I think that the Psalm 83 set up, because once Israel nukes Iran, Iran's going to be knocked out. Well, Russia will grab them and grab Syria and Turkey and head straight down into Israel, you know. But I think, obviously, I don't know, it'll be interesting how, it's really hard to figure out how God's doing this, because he always throws a tailspin at the last second, you know. Everything is like, it's so weird. I'll be like, Lord, I think this has to happen this way, and then weird things will be happening. I'm like, oh man, I don't know if we'll ever be able to figure this thing out until we see it, it's over with, heaven. But
wow,
it's just hard, because that Psalm 83 war is going to be very soon, which means they'd have to get that peace deal signed extra fast, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe that peace deal will come after Israel strikes Iran. You know, they'll do like some peace deal, and then you know, we know that'll fall through, and then there'll be the Psalm 83, because the Psalm 83 war rolls right into that final. There's that war, and then eventually rolls into the Armageddon war. But
right.
But I do think Russia's troops are going to be sitting there for a while. Must be expensive though, like Pat said. You know,
I had heard they're running out of money, so I don't know how they're doing any.
It's very
actually,
expensive, though. Tanks sitting there and all that stuff, you know?
The Chinese are, too. Everybody's running out of money.
Yeah, to fight a war.
With a few, the exception of probably a few small countries. Everybody has leveraged themselves in one way or another
to
support growing economies. And, you know, this is the other thing about the Middle East right now is all especially the larger caliphates or whatever, like Saudi Arabia,
right.
They've got this ever-growing population where they're all guaranteed a certain amount of money because of the oil well.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
they're kind of like the Kennedys. They've got too many people and not enough money. And,
I think they spend some of their future earnings, too. They're in debt and all that.
Yeah. So I saw something not real long ago, and it was a really compelling kind of, discussion of how all the major wars in the past have been associated with an economic crisis. That in the end, major empires go to war when they get close to being bankrupt. Or when a major empire is close to being bankrupt, other people go to war to take the wealth that is there. And it was pretty compelling, really. And I don't remember all the details. I just sort of took the point and went on. But
well, the Bible refers to the fact that Russia and them will want the largest gas reserve that an oil reserve that you know, Israel had found in the last couple of years. I mean, Israel, the Bible is so interesting. In the end times, it says Israel will be doing really, they'll be flourishing, doing wonderful, and there's 12 kinds of trees that will be planted there as a reflection of the prosperity, and then they're going to have the largest gas reserve, oil reserve, and They found that, I think it was the largest gas reserve ever. And then they have 12 trees. Those 12 trees are flourishing now in Israel, and their economy is doing wonderful. And just like the Bible said, and it's interesting because they're going to come down and they want to take that oil field. And that's why, like you were just saying now, Jerry, that makes sense. They're eyeing Israel like, wait a minute, you're doing good. We're not. We want what you got, you know. And
right. That's right.
Interesting that the oil field's called Leviathan. What a name, right? There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, because Russia's leverage on Europe has been their energy supply, and I mean
yes.
Western Europe.
Yes.
And so, you know, they're in fracking has at least allegedly significantly reduced all the country's needs for imported oil. Whether it's here in the United States or they've done it in England and they're doing it in Europe. And I think these countries that have gotten by really without developing their economies very well and have relied on their petroleum income, and Russia is included in that group, but to a lesser extent, but still it's still true. As a result, you know, they're not prepared for energy independence of Western economies. And the Chinese also have they have had increasing need for these petroleum reserves to, you know, supply a growing, more modern economy. But I think they're just as leveraged as everybody else. It's just we don't hear about it as much because they have a closed system. But there's plenty of signs that they have done all kinds of crazy things over there, like built entire cities with no populations and all kinds of silly stuff. And, you know, they may have a plan. I don't know.
Jerry, I'm sure you saw those cities, huh? Jerry, have you seen pictures of those cities?
Yeah.
Michelle,
yeah.
Have you seen those cities at all with Pat?
No, I don't.
Oh, they're crazy, Michelle. It would blow your mind. We're talking about like Jerry's talking. It's a mega city, mega
yeah.
city, huge malls, like 20, like you know, 10 stories high, like huge outdoor malls, huge towers of condos, planned storefronts, everything, and not one person. And this goes for miles and miles, hundreds of miles, whatever. Huge. It's like a huge city. It'd be like a huge city.
Weird.
And there's not one person in the entire place.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Or something or other.
Because they're so stupid, they thought, well, when they were rolling in the dough and the cash, they're like, oh, we're going to take that cash and we're going to keep the economy going by building these cities and stuff. We'll just get people to work on them by building it. But it was stupid because you're not getting any taxes back out of this city. And they've done many of these cities. I mean, they're so eerie. It's like you look at them and you're like, you've seen them on Jerry. They're spooky looking. They're like ghost man.
They're
weird.
Yeah, it's very strange. There's lots of landscaping, the whole bit. I've never read that anybody in the West has an explanation for how or why they've done this, because places like that, unless they're lived in, they actually decay pretty quickly. And I don't know whether it's real estate speculation or it just had so many U.S. dollars they wanted to turn it into an asset or.
Mm-hmm. I think they wanted to build to keep things busy, but it was a stupid thing.
Well,
you would build in your own country, not, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
It may be as simple as there's a high Communist Party official in China that's a builder. I mean, you know.
There you go.
I've heard of a city
in Chicago. You know, there's one in Michigan or Chicago, near Chicago that's in Michigan, and they're, it's near Chicago. And they're building it. It's like a city, and it's all but this one's for just Chinese people. The government, of course, allowed it. Obama's like, okay, go ahead, just set up shop. Like, they only want Chinese people living there from China. Totally crazy. Yeah.
Mm.
We're going to have to check it out on the way to the heifer thing. We'll stop by there.
Yeah, that's
guys.
Check
we'll
it
go
out.
Around,
see if there's any potential.
Yeah,
we'll
go west to east. We'll get it all figured out.
Yeah,
Chris Slaughter in the chat room was asking when the red heifer would be sent to Israel.
In another month, within 30 days. Which is 3 months old, so it'll be 4 months old. And the thing is, it's 4 months, so it'll be 4 months old pretty soon, and it's going to be sent there. But the thing about it is the heifers, you know, they have to be used within another 6 months to a year maximum, preferably 6 months, has to be used. Because if it's not used, then it gets too old and it causes, they have an age thing on this thing that they've got to use it for. And they don't want any problems with it, you know. So in other words, it can't get much older. That's why I'm saying we're in that clock time where there's like a year to build, start on that temple to use this heifer. And one other thing I saw a video last night I thought was very interesting how, you know, to not get off the subject, but the European Common Market, when they pick a new president, he's a president for 6 months. They rotate them. I think most people know that. But it's very interesting because this, in July, they're going to pick a new president, and it's coming from Italy, Rome. Hello? Is that prophetic about the Bible? I know. I'm like, oh, my gosh. That's right. That's huge prophetic. I mean, because that's Rome, you know, ruling the world once again, right? It's controlling the whole European Common Market. I mean, I just told me, like, okay, Lord, I know we're going raptured then because, you know, the Bible talks about Rome having control and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't you find that prophetic, you guys?
There's so much going on.
There's just so much. I mentioned before one time that I think Mystery Babylon in Revelation is a religion, and I think there's a good chance that that it's the Roman Church.
Yes.
The administration of it, and not the lay people, but the administration of it, and. And I had an epiphany one day that, you know, we always talk about the fall of the Roman Empire. That's what the notion that's in our culture. But if you actually think about it, when the Roman Empire was a sustained government and they controlled a whole bunch of places and they gained wealth by consuming already existing populations, but then they had to administrate it. And then they were so large, and the people basically got fat and happy and even more sinful in Italy and Rome, and basically they couldn't sustain themselves. But what came up out of that was a Roman church. And so the epiphany was that the Roman Empire morphed from an empire into a religious organization. And now, if you think about it, the Vatican is considered a state government.
Oh yeah.
And they have diplomatic immunity all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a huge banking interests and that mm-hmm. interact with the other major banking interests around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold authority over a huge portion of the Earth's population, and they don't have to hardly lift a finger to do it compared to running an empire. I think that organization has really, you know, it's a morphing from the empire to a state government. And,
mm-hmm.
And I think they are at the center from an administrative point of view of a lot of this stuff that's going on, and that's why I like the current Pope is very suspect and all that. But basically the epiphany was the Roman Empire never really died. It just morphed into a religious organization.
Well, Jerry, you know who Irvin Baxter is, right? He's pretty big into Bible prophecy. He's been studying it for 20 years, and he's pretty darn accurate. He is a post-tripper, but everything else he says is pretty right. He goes into minute detail about the colors mentioned in the Bible and stuff about that, and that it matches perfectly with what you're saying. It's the whole Roman Empire rule at the Pope stuff. So, yeah, it is.
Hey, guys.
Sure,
Judy is online. Hey, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hi,
Judy.
Hey.
Love you.
Love you.
He's such a red heifer. Such a heifer. I love it. Every time you guys talk about heifers and Keith talks about it, it makes me laugh. So, okay, is, but I just think it's such a great testimony. So Carol sent this to me. She was meditating. I'm just going to read it. I just think it's really going to, it really blessed me. I read it. She said, so I was meditating in favor of God again this morning when the Holy Spirit led me back to this year. But what we will be doing is part of the 144K. If only he had given.
You cut out, Judy.
Yeah. They're cutting out, Judy.
Oh, dear.
Looks like she dropped. So, call back, Judy.
Does anybody else have the message?
Oh, wait. She is calling back.
Oh, sorry.
Couldn't hear you, honey.
It's not a very long email, but hi, Pat. I love you.
I love you too, sweetie.
Love you.
And everybody on the line, who else is there? Keith and Jer. And
yep.
Who else?
Anna.
Love you, please.
Debbie's listening.
Debbie's listening, yeah.
Oh, Leah. Yeah.
Michelle.
Oh, yeah, Leah. Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Keith, Jerry.
Joe.
Pat.
Oh, JoJo. Cool.
And Michelle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, so she was meditating. Because I really think it's cool because a lot of us, we get our rapture words from God, you know, straight from him. But Carol got it through the word, you know, the Bible, which I think is really cool. Like, he speaks to everyone different ways. And I just thought it was cool. So she said, I don't know when I cut off. So I'll just start. It's not a very long email, but anyway. So she was meditating on the favor of God. And God led her to Isaiah 61. Little did I know he was going to reveal to me not only the year of the rapture this year, but what we'll be doing as part of the 144K. If only he had given me a day, but we know the moment we are translated, it'll be today. So he had me look at verse 1, but had me focus on the first part of verse 1, and then on to verse 2 below. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So here it goes. I just think this is a great Bible thump. I mean, I love how God uses everything to tell us all he's coming. So it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Hold on. I just want to say, I have noticed now that I read my Bible that I see the rapture everywhere, but
yeah.
I never saw the rapture everywhere until recently. Anyway,
yeah.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance for our God. What can be more favorable than rapture? And you know what happens when we poof? The day becomes the day of vengeance of our God.
Yes.
Well, after the worldwide rapture, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
The whole world will be turned upside down. When we meet the
yep.
Lord in the air and then to the Bema Seat for our rewards, he calls us oaks of righteousness. So it will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then we return as part of the 144K, and here's what our assignments will be. So she got our assignments from the Bible. Here it goes. We will rebuild the ancient ruins, they, which is we, will raise up the former devastation, and they, we, will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture our flocks, and foreigners will be our farmers and our vine dressers. And I live in a... That's really fun. And here is what our positions in the kingdom are. But you, and then she's saying us, we, will be called the priests of God. We will be spoken of as ministers of our God. Here is what we will do. So that's our assignment. And now she got, here's what we're going to be doing as part of the 144K. We, and this is all verse by verse, will eat the wealth of the nations, and in their riches we will boast. And instead of humiliation, we will shout for joy over our portion. And therefore, see, we are the elite now, and we're the elite then. Therefore, we will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be ours. Instead of your shame, we will have a double portion. So much has been stolen from us and angered the Lord. So he says, I, the Lord, love justice. Oh, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery in the burnt offerings, and I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering. Everyone will realize that we are a people the Lord has blessed. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. I hope this revelation God gave me this morning pumps you all up as it did me. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Love, Carol. So thank
great.
You, Carol. For did you guys love that? I mean,
oh, it's
just,
great.
The Lord just showed her straight from the Bible about the 144K assignment. What
great.
We what they were, what our positions in the kingdom are, and what we'll be doing. And I mean, that is just. I love that because I thought
beautiful.
Of what Jerry, the vision that God gave, or the dream that God gave Jerry when he was, and he realizes now it was a 144K dream, but he was, you know, in the airplane with John Pelosi, was it, Jerry?
Yeah, it was. And some others.
And, you know, these are people, at the time when he had the dream, he didn't realize that was a comeback dream. So he's like,
wow.
Why would I be nice to her and feel compassion on her? She's like, you know, not my favorite person. And, you know, and so it's just neat. Can you share that again, Jerry? That's just the coolest dream ever. Like, he had, like, a mission. His mission was to, like, bring them to safety and tell them about the Lord. I mean, cause, so it's, thank you, Carol, because it's going to be completely flipped. You know, we're like the people that nobody wants to talk to, and we're going to be the ones to go help them. Even in Washington, as Jerry's dream. Can you share it again, Jerry?
Sure, yeah. What it was is I just found myself in an airplane with her and several other people, and I immediately understood that, and it was super powerful, super clear. I mean, I knew it was from him. Easily, and in fact, even during, it was so real that even during the dream, I was wondering about it, even in context. It was almost like I was there thinking about it at the same time, and so I was in this plane, and I knew immediately it was a private aircraft, and these people were talking amongst themselves, but I was there as a person, and I immediately understood that basically that they were fleeing Washington after martial law had been declared, and they were in total shock and disbelief and could not believe, you know, they were completely unprepared for what was happening and that the system had been turned on them. And I was there, and for a while they had discussions, and I was sort of absorbing things, and then it was my turn to speak, and with just this most incredibly deep sincerity and love, I spoke to them at one time about how to save the nation was to also have personal salvation. And I just totally gave them, you know, just the deepest, most strong message of salvation, both for themselves personally as well as the country. That this is what you have to do, and part of it was like, you know, character actually matters, and but you have to, you know, come to Jesus and you know, trust your lives with him and not all this other stuff you've been doing. And of course, these are the people who are all about their own power and manipulating power, and you know, one of the reasons they embrace Darwin so much is it's like a validation of survival of the fittest. It's like license to cheat. And so these people, and so there I was, and then I delivered the message, and when I was done delivering the message, I woke up, and that feeling of sincerity and that depth of love for those people and the situation was so deep and so strong, and I was still feeling it, and I was like, wow, that was really powerful. And then I wondered why in the world I cared so much about those people, because in the real world, you know, my daily perspective is, you know what, you know, you're part of the problem here, people. But there was no doubt. He had me, you know, totally doing it. But it just didn't fit in my scenario. I didn't realize for the longest time that that's what it was. And then the other day, I was even driving, he just totally hit me with it. And made me realize it was part of all of the other things that he was showing me in the previous two or three or four days. And then it was undeniable. It's like, well, duh, that's obvious. You know, because I could never see myself being in that situation or even having any desire to be in that situation, other than just for to do God's work. But so that's what it was. But it was just this most amazing thing. And this was about 2 years ago or so, I think. And I was so surprised because it was not, you know, obviously not anything I'd ever thought about. So anyway, so I think that's symbolic at this point because there's such a connection between us that I know is in spirit, you know, that I know that it is emblematic not only of something that I may literally do, but it's also emblematic of the work he's going to have each and every one of us do because, you know, this is not about me. This is every job. Everything that he has somebody do is going to be so fundamentally important and so powerful. And, you know, his love and his power is going to flow through each and every one of us as we go out to do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So it was huge. And I could hardly function the way he showed that to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really couldn't hold a conversation at that point. And this was not when I woke up from the dream. I mean, just the other day when he made me realize what it really was.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my goodness. And so, you know, he's out there. He's going to work it. And these things are coming very soon.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. I can add one little detail about that dream is that I was actually sharing it with my parents the night before. And I was led to really speak with authority, you know, like sort of the Holy Spirit emboldening almost prophetically, telling me, I was saying, you know, I didn't explain to them about the dream and all that, but I said, this scenario is going to happen, and these people are going to be in shock. And it came up because we were discussing leadership a little bit, and I said, they don't really understand what they've gotten themselves into. And, of course, they don't understand. They don't have discernment.
Right.
So they, you know, they think they're playing their power trip games, their politic games, and they don't understand the door that they've opened.
Yeah.
Most of them don't. Some of them, I'm sure, do, but most of them probably don't. They just think they're playing the game and protecting themselves.
Yeah.
And there will come a day when
everything
is going to go to its full measure, and when it does, they're going to be in almost as much shock as everybody else. And
sure.
They're going to need salvation as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
And somehow or other, that's an indication that, you know, God is going to work in this, and he's going to work at every level of authority. And he has a heart for the people in this country, regardless of the evil that's been done, what I consider on their backs. And so, you know, watch out because, you know, when we come back, there's going to be there's just going to be a lot of good work that's going to happen in the name of God.
Yeah,
it really will be.
Yeah. Can I read something just from Divine Mercy? Just a paragraph, but I read this and it gave me such peace because he kind of explained how to deal with a certain situation. If that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Too.
It says
why
love
read
for
that
those.
Lot of thing too,
okay.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, love for those who cause you suffering. So here's Jesus talking. Have great love for those who cause you suffering. Do good to those who hate you. And then she answered, Sister Faustina. She said, "But oh, my Master, you see very well that I feel no love for them, and that troubles me." So Jesus answered, and this just cleared it up for me real good, and I hope it clears it up for everybody else. It is not always within your power to control your feelings. You will recognize that you have love if, after having experienced annoyance and contradiction, you do not lose your peace, but, this is good, pray for those who have made you suffer and wish them well. Then you know you're in his love. And it's like, thank you very much. I needed
Amen.
To hear that.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. So I have that other. If you want me to read that to you, I can from Lana.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, this is from June 27th, and this lady likes to rhyme, so I'm just going to read it. You may feel stuck, but the door is not shut. Okay, I sense many were feeling like they were stuck in mud and couldn't move. I sensed many feeling an increasing frustration at obstacles appearing before them or the inability to move forward. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I sense that many have been feeling this way as they look at a promise the Lord has given them. The promise was given, and then the glimmers of breakthrough began, and momentum began, yet now there seems to be a feeling of being stuck and nothing progressing and unable to move forward. I sense the Lord saying, the door to his promises are not shut. They are not shut. Do not despise the time between the promises given and the promise manifest. The Lord is preparing you for the next step. He is preparing you to carry what you are going to walk into. The light is not red. The Lord has given green lights on his promises. But in this time of increase, abundance, and acceleration, the Lord is paying specific attention to the depth of the people of God's relationship with him and character. Well, someone just mentioned character. For where the Lord is positioning his people in this season, our relationship with him must be deep, that's capitalized, strong and immovable. Our faith must be strong and our character of the highest regard. The Lord cares about keeping you where he is releasing you. He wants you to flourish, to blossom, to bloom, and to go from glory to glory in the places that he is placing his people. For positions of incredible influence, favor, and responsibility are being released in this season right now. And it is not for the faint-hearted, and it is not for those who cannot stand. So the Lord is making sure, as his people align with him, that they are not faint in heart and not shaken by the wind and the waves, but immovable, a great anchoring. The people of God are in one of the greatest anchoring points of their lives, the greatest anchoring unto him as they seek him. What the Lord is investing in his people now through relationship with him and character building is what is going to last beyond this world, eternity. What is being sowed into you now as you align yourself with him is not just for now, not just for your lifetime, not just to enjoy relationship with him, not just to change the world, but for eternity. Deep heavenly investments are being placed into the people of God right now. No matter the wind, no matter the waves, no matter the storm that blows, God is raising up a people of God who will not be shaken. This is not the end. You are stepping into a great extent. I love this. Do not let the feeling of being stuck or deep anchoring lead you to believe or feel that this is the end. That it is over and not going to manifest. This is not the end. This is actually the steps before some of the greatest promotions that the people of God have ever stepped into. The assignments and breakthrough the Lord is releasing is of such value. So much is being entrusted at various levels to the people of God that out of his beautiful, amazing, wonderful love, he is ensuing that as his people are aligned with him, they are ready to be released. There is a specific emphasis from the Lord, an urgency I have been feeling from the Lord on the area of surrender, being willing to surrender to the process no matter what, being willing to be fluid in him and let him have full control. You see, it is about to rain heavily from the heavenlies, but he must reign in our lives for the rain to have its greatest momentum, for the kingdom to move in and through us at the level acceleration and increase he desires right now. There must be a release of total control to him to allow him to reign, a deep dependency upon the Lord so that he can release some of the greatest blessings, open doors, opportunities, assignments, and increases the body of Christ has ever seen. This is a warning in the spirit I sense happening now to not hold tight to ministries, blessings, open doors, favors, opportunities, to have an open hand and go with the flow of his spirit. There has to be a continual offering to the Lord of ministries, hearts, desires, increase, opportunities, favor, etc., given back to him in thankfulness. Not only will that guard the hearts of his people, but activate the increase. As hands and hearts are open and surrendered to him, the further, higher, deeper, and wider the people of God will go. The only way there will be a delay in the process is by holding on to what needs to be continually given back to him in thankfulness and lived in surrender. The people of God are stepping into the great extend. This process the people of God are walking through is not the end or a signal of promises unfulfilled, but the signal that what he is doing is going to extend further, higher, deeper, and longer than the people of God could ever imagine. The Lord is raising up his people now into the harvest. The fields are white and ripe with the harvest, and it is time for his people to be sent out to bring it in. The people of God he has fashioned, the people of God he's fashioning as they align themselves with him to go out and bring in the harvest are going to be people who are immovable, anchored deeply in him, submitted to the promises floating in the rivers of his spirit and captivated by his love. This is not the end. You are not stuck. As you align yourself with him, you are being prepared to be released into one of the greatest revivals the world and church has ever seen and have the glorious privilege and joy of bringing in the end time harvest. Rejoice. This is not the end. It is the great extend. And the Bible verse, Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. There you go, guys.
Wow.
Thanks, Keith, for sending
that. Wow.
Yeah. So it's just confirming everything we've just talked about, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm picking up stuff here.
Did she give a date, Pat, at the bottom there? On
yes, it's June 27th. June 27th. That's today.
Did she give it? We want a date on when the harvest is going to start. She had something in there on
no,
that.
No, there's no. Just now, Keith. I don't know who. There's another name here. Karen Appleby. I had no idea.
Yeah, Karen Appleby is a wonderful woman that contacted me that sends me all this stuff.
So okay, so Lana is the one. Lana, I forget her last name.
Lana's the one.
Yeah. Okay. So that's yeah. So there you go. There you go. This is yesterday or today. Yeah, it was powerful. So it's like, get ready, you're going to be used, you're blessed, you know, and God wants you to hold on and just keep on keeping in him. And don't, you're not stuck. You know, we're moving ahead. And he's got great plans.
I'm still in negotiations with God on being used in the harvest. We're still talking it out and stuff, so.
No, there you go.
Tressy in the chat room had a Bible flip. He wanted someone to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, I think it was. So I'll go ahead and read that.
Go ahead.
And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
That thing you read, Pat, it really sounds like the harvest is like getting ready for now, huh? I mean,
very soon.
Yeah.
It's great encouragement. It's just good. Well, I like Bonnie's too. I have he and I, not he and I, it'll take a little longer to read though. It's all the bridegroom kind of message from True Life in God. It's incredible. Just incredible.
Read it.
Oh, my goodness. It was written in 1997. Okay, guys. All right. I'm going to read it a little quickly, though, okay? She says, Lord, I love your sacred heart, which floods me with its love. Yes, like a flowing water is the heart of my king. And now the king says to me, why have you kept me waiting? Oh, I have to just tell you, wherever her name is, we're to put our name where hers is. Because she said he doesn't love her more. She's just an example. So this message is for each and every one of you and anybody out there. It's for the whole world, okay? And he and Jesus says, oh, why have you kept me waiting so long? The flowers are ready approaching on earth. Daughter, so long for, come to me. This is all of us. Come to taste the sweetness of my heart. Oh, I love this. I am your divine spouse who opened your ear to hear my sweet conversation and kindled a desire in you like a flame. I stepped into your life to reveal my beauty to you so that your soul succumbs to my charms. I came to prepare your heart, waking up your love so that you drink from the source of my heart, which is sweeter than wine. Then you would seek my resplendent perfection and offer yourself voluntarily to me, and I, for my part, would celebrate my strength and my glory for having overpowered you. Ah, daughter of the king, which is all of us, I had called you before my angel so that you and your generation taste my love. And now, dearest one, who constantly trembles for fear of being deceived, dear Lord, this is good, your Lord, Father, and God of your life tells you not to fear, for a heart founded on prayer, love, and humility will not flinch at the critical moment of temptation, but will chase the demons away. Have you not noticed how I exhaled a perfume like incense on you and to attract your attention? And now that you are with me, let me ask you, do you know what my sacred heart desires? That you come to me as a lily so that I enjoy your heart once I engulf it entirely into my own sacred heart. Love for me, heart to heart, come. Just like an ocean swallows up a drop of water, so do I want to disappear in you. I love you to folly, and I would like to take you into the nuptial chamber of my heart solely for me, just I and you, so that together we can share a retreat, or is it a pilgrimage you want? Is this what you want? We would go to the gardens of my heart, and our friendship would be such that even my angels would desire your place. Ah, if you only knew, my beloved one, the love I have for you. Whatever you choose, pilgrimage or retreat, you would not have to walk. I will carry you in my embrace and relieve your feet, which stood for me during hours of your mission, ours as well. Ministering for me, does not the dew relieve the heat? In the same way will I relieve your feet. The Sula, meaning all of us, have you understood why I have come to you as a sacred heart? I have come this way so that from this very heart you obtain mercy. Yes, not just you, but all of you. Come now. Why this trembling? Have I not espoused you to myself with a ring? We spoke about the signet ring in one of those messages. Have I not given you a glimpse on the delights of my heart? Have I not shown you the goodness of my heart? So why this hesitation? She said, Lord, I simply do not comprehend a bit of what your wishes are. This offer that you want to perform with me, this pilgrimage or retreat, I do not understand. And he said, my beloved, whom I raised and called for myself and for my glory, which is all of us, come now and feast in me. I will be your joy and your smile. I will be your banquet. I will let you profit from the treasures of my heart. Take a look at me. Take a look at my heart. Look, have I not opened the gate of my heart for you? My royal heart has offered to you. Come and find your joy in me. If the world has sworn to hurt you, I, in my turn, have sworn to protect you from absorbing their poison and designate you for my glory. If the world is treacherous, it was to prove to you that I alone am always faithful in my love and my friendship. Therefore, you whom I nurtured, to you I say, do not get discouraged with what has happened to you, for I have allowed this weight to overwhelm you for my greatest glory. I am, my dearest love, ready now to do just about anything for your spiritual growth and the sanctification of your soul. Your company with me will be complete, and I will feel more free to transport you in my arms. I will be more free to run away with you and strengthen our union. I have told you once that even your closest friends, and we can all identify with this, would not understand you, and they would cause you impressive wounds, and that by doing so, you would become the victim of their thought, but that they too would become victims of their own fault. I may still reward them afterwards for all the good things they have done, and I will not forget their sacrifices, but I will reprimand them heavily for their harshness towards my chosen one, meaning all of us, their lack of charity and gentleness. You will never find in this world, my dove, the perfect heart. No, it is non-existent. I am the sole heart with this one of of your mother who are perfect and unique in our love and fidelity. Come to me so that I give you the gift of my love. I have stored so many gifts for you. My beloved, come to your spouse and allow me to integrate you into my body in which you can have a peaceful retreat. I will take you by the hand and draw you into the chamber of my heart where we will embrace in our love. This is like the Song of Solomon. In my love, I will restore and console your soul with kisses of my mouth. I will restore you, strengthening your love. For you, in this love, even though it is imperfect, you will console your consoler by becoming a balm to my wounds. And while I, your king, will be resting in your arms, savoring every drop of your love, I will be showing you now and then, my sister, my royal heart, this heart that raised you up in our courts, this heart that is all, this heart that gives itself abundantly to all mankind, this heart that composed musical melodies and songs for his loved ones. Yes, the one who sings to you now is the lover of mankind, the spouse of the whole earth. While some of you have no memory of your God to this day, I, in my faithfulness and in the greatness of my love, come to you to offer you my heart. Greater than this, no one cannot give. Let your eyes marvel at the beauty of my heart. It is the heart of great sacrifice. It is the heart of the new covenant. It is the heart of true vine. It is the heart nearest to the Father's heart. It is the heart that shines in the dark, and that darkness could never overpower. It is the heart of the Word made flesh who lived among you. It is the heart that lives in your heart so that all of you become the heart of my heart and the heart of our heart. It is the heart of the martyrs and the prophets who wholeheartedly did the will of the Father and glorified him by their perseverance, their docility, docility, childlikeness, and their perfect obedience. It is the heart of complete unity who does not differentiate you from one another, since you all belong to this heart. It is the heart who prayed to the Father that you may all of that you may all be one in us. What is the heart of the Lord like? The heart of the Lord is like an infinite ocean of love and mercy. It is like an incomparable and inestimable treasure that whosoever holds it will never let go, knowing that it is eternal life. My heart is like a blazing furnace of love, ready to consume your heart in its love. My heart is light, outshining all the constellations put together. Time slips by between dawn and dusk, and all things pass swiftly, but my love is constant and forever. Come, all of you who thirst, but do not even know it. Come and acknowledge this heart of your God, so that you may understand me and know me as thrice holy. Come and possess this heart, so that you may set your hearts on my kingdom and all that is righteous. Come and set your heart on my heart, so that one day I may truly say to you, come, my child, come and share my throne with me. I have always known you, my own, my remnant, born of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Come, part of me, come and inherit what was yours since the foundations of the earth, breath of my breath. You belong to the one who moves you in intimate union in our oneness. Ah, fruit of my heart, meaning all of us, this is what I would be showing you while you would be reposing like a contented child in your embrace. Promise me, my Fasula, meaning all of us, to love me, to let your bridegroom repose undisturbed in your heart. Learn from your beloved. I am gentle and humble in heart, and in me your soul will always find its rest. Let me find the same in you. Let me find gentleness and humility. And she said, I do not want to stir my love nor rouse it until it please to awake. Therefore teach me to be as you want me to be, that I may be pleasing to you. And he says, my sweetness felt in your heart. My sweetness felt in your heart will be the reminder of my holy presence reposing in your heart. But remember also that you need only say, this is good, I am slipping, and my love immediately will support you, lavishing you with thousands of consolations, my beloved. I bless you, giving you my kiss of love. I, Jesus Christ, am always with you. We, us, forever. So that's all of us. This is the path of the bridegroom. This is just a little part of it. I could read pages of stuff like this that he gave to her up to 2003. He's the lover. He's the bridegroom, pure as crystal, warm as the brightest star, but it's intense, it's intimate, and it's all in the theme. I said, oh, God, I've got to read this to these people, you know, to everyone, because it goes with the one body scent, you know? So he's the bridegroom, guys, and he ain't playing. Enjoy.
That was amazing.
Yes. Oh, that's just tip of the iceberg. I'm going to find more passages, and I'm going to read them to you, you know, now and then, if we're still here, because you're just going to go, whoa, you've got to know this about him before you get up there, guys, okay? If you're the bride, you got to know all this stuff. It's like somebody talking to you before you get married. What's in this, you know? Because it even gets more intimate. There's even more intimate words, but it's so pure. It's
wow.
so beautiful. It's of the heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Oh,
love
yeah.
it.
Oh, he even goes in deeper. It's all the Song of Solomon, like on steroids, as I say.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what
you're
going to
need. Maybe you should quiz everybody
well,
on it every now and then. Chat, make sure they're paying attention.
Whoa. It's heavy.
Let's see.
Yeah, I know. We've got our few minutes.
We only have about 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
So, Judy is requesting communion.
Okay.
And I think she wants Joe to do communion. So, Joe, would you like to do communion?
Joe?
Are you still there?
I think he's gone.
Oh.
I think he was drinking
okay.
the Lord's wine and he got little tipsy. He's out of here.
Okay, well, I can do it if no one else wants to. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your sacrifice, for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. We love you. We cannot wait to see you, Lord. And we just want to thank you so much for your love and for your sacrifice and for coming to get us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now for the communion. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now we eat together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now we drink together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. And I think I'm going to put on a worship song to close this wonderful service.
guys, I had to stop that early because we only have about 6 seconds left. So come.
Come, Lord Jesus.
You love me, Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Love you.
Thank you. Love everybody.
Love you, Jerry. Love you, Pat. Love you,
everybody.
Love you, everybody.
Love Judy.
Love you.
Thanks, everybody.
Love you, Joe. Thank
Judy.
You.
Judy.
See you in the air, you guys.
Michelle and Jerry and Joe and Keith and Debbie and Tana and Leah.
Amen.
Jerry and I'll have Red Heifer with us, too, when we go out. So.
We'll have to grab one on the way.
Get it there on time. Get it there on time.
We will. We'll get it.
Amen. This time.
Oh, man.
Love you all. See you in there.
Love you all. Love you, chat. Bye. Love everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye, guys.